Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's a legendary, charismatic megafauna in his own mind. Here he is, Mike Novak.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. That silence you just heard was in honor of Memorial Day. And did you hear science? I don't know. Tweet me. Let me know where you picked things up, folks, out there. I believe we're up and going. Look at that. We've already got tweets in here about Midwestern native gardens on Twitter. And that's nice to know because in the studio today, I have Charlotte Edelman, who is one of the authors of Midwest Native Garden, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants, an illustrated guide, and it is by Charlotte Edelman and Bernard L. Schwartz. And I'm not supposed to say where Bernard is today, so I'm not going to. And if he's anywhere within shouting distance, Bernard, we're waving to you. We're saying, hi, how are you? So we will get to Charlotte in a second here. Then in the second half of the show, the 10 o'clock hour, I have a couple of guys who have worked together before and are coming back together in the program, and that is Steve Pincusby from the Chicago Center for Green Technology. And the CCGT is celebrating its 10th anniversary in a couple of weeks. So happy anniversary. I don't have... Oh, wait. Let me get the bell. Happy anniversary, CCGT. And then with him is Rick Moskowitz from A-Plus Pest Control. And I said the two of them were work together. Steve used to be at a Safer Pest Control Project, and I know that they've done a lot of work on bed bugs. And it's not a pleasant subject, really, but there's a resurgence of bed bugs in America. And if you've encountered them, it's not fun. And if you don't want to encounter them, you might want to call in to Steve and Rick later in the show. As always, the number is 773-763-9278, whatever we do. And just before we get to Charlotte, I'm going to bring up something, and then I'm going to bring it up later in the show. And you might recall a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how there was a move afoot to undo the landfill ban in the city of Chicago. And one of the aldermen had put a proposed an ordinance that would lift the ban. And as it turns out, there's apparently one landfill even in the entire Cook County, in Dalton, which is adjacent to the city of Chicago. At any rate, Ninth Ward Alderman Anthony Beal made this proposal, and then 10th Ward Alderman John Pope was against it, and then it got involved in the legislature in Springfield. There's a bill right now, HB 3881, which is making its way through the General Assembly, that would ban landfilling in all of Cook County. Right now, we have a landfill ban in the city of Chicago. Well, funny thing happened on the way to this. There was that lawsuit, of course, that Landon Lakes, which is a waste hauler, wanted to, where they wanted to annex or get the city of Dalton to annex 86 acres that they own in the city of Chicago. Of course, the city says you can't dump there. And so Landon Lakes said, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take that land and put it in another city so we can dump. And, of course, a lot of us thought, well, that, you know, that's not going to happen. Don't have to worry about that. Headline from the Chicago Tribune, May 25th, 2012. Chicago losing 86 acres. Waste company wants to expand landfill. A Cook County judge ruled Friday that 86 acres on the southeast side will no longer be part of Chicago, opening the door for the waste disposal company that owns the property to expand a landfill into that area. Cook County Associate Judge Susan Fox Gillis ruled in favor of Land and Lakes Company, which was suing the city for the right to disconnect the land in the Riverdale community. The land sits, and by the way, I should give Dawn Rhodes, the Chicago Tribune reporter, credit because she wrote the story. The land sits on the southern edge of the city limits at 138th Street and Cottage Grove Avenue, just north of Cook County's only operating landfill, Landon Lakes River Bend Prairie Landfill in South Suburban Dalton. So now the judiciary has weighed in on this, which is to say, hey, don't worry about it. You're a big company. We'll give you the land. We'll tell you what, we'll even rip it out of the city of Chicago. We'll just grab that landfill and we'll just give it to Dalton. How's that? Wow. Wow. So I will be talking about this later. If you've got a, you know what I would like to hear from today? And is Dennis, are you with me now there in?
I'm here.
You're still perspiring.
I'm good now. We're good.
Are we good?
This is going to be a good show today.
This could be a great show.
Memorial Day edition.
You bet.
Oh, man.
Great show.
Excited.
So our number, as always, and Dennis is standing by to take your calls, at 773-763-9278. You know what? Who I'd like to hear from is somebody who lives in Dalton about what they think of this. And we probably, if we're going to do that, it's probably going to be in the second hour because I need to get to Charlotte here. But what's one of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be a rally next Tuesday, this Tuesday at 7 p.m., a community rally to fight the landfill expansion. I mean, this is what we're reduced to now. We got the courts against us. We got the big companies against us. You know, that legislation is still wending its way through Springfield, the General Assembly. So if you live in this area, now is the time, today, to leave a message with your state representative and say, please vote yes on House Bill 3881, which would ban landfilling in Cook County. Otherwise, you know, the courts, yeah, they say it's okay. You know, you guys can do whatever you want. I tell you what, we'll take that 86 acre parcel of land. We'll give it to Dalton just so you can dump some more stuff in there. So Tuesday there's going to be a community rally to fight the landfill expansion. 7 p.m. New Life Celebration Church of God, 14243 South Dante Road. That's 142nd and Dalton Road near I-94. And we will get that information up and talk a little bit more about that, perhaps, in the second hour. Let's start, though. I will reach across the table, actually turn on the microphone across the table, and say hello to the lovely Charlotte Edelman. Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
Fine. How are you? And thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. You and I have talked, you know, before. I interviewed you when I was back at Gargantua Radio down the dial. And it was another book that you had done, and that was the Prairie Directory of North America, also with your husband,
right,
Bernard L. Schwartz, who is somewhere. Did he get lost on the way down here? He's out there someplace. I don't know where he is.
He is an eternal presence everywhere.
He's omnipresent.
All right.
And first of all, I'm going to right out of the gate, and if you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, and go to this week's show, there's a nice picture of the book and a link to it if you want to pick up a copy. And it's a fabulous book. It's just so cool. And I have a copy here. And for a little book, it's got some heft. There's a lot going on in here. And you should be proud of yourself. This is such a good idea. The idea that, you want to teach people that, and this is, you know, a couple of decades down the whole native road here where people talk natives and have been for some time and saying, yes, they're important and you need to have them in your garden. And, yet, like if you're like me, you go out in your backyard and after I was reading this book, I look around, I go, oh my gosh, I have so many non-natives in here. It's scary. And that's part of the deal. They get all the press, don't they? In our garden centers and in general, don't you think?
Well, I do.
And that's why you're giving them some press here.
Well, I think it's very important before you can think about having alternatives of native plants to be able to know if the plant you're seeking to have an alternative to is native or not. And most people just assume logically that the plants that are growing in their backyards are native to our region.
That's a very strange assumption, don't you think?
Well, you know, if you go in your yard, you'll think, well, of course what I have growing here always grew here. You wouldn't even think, why wouldn't it? Your neighbor has it. They're selling it at the local grocery store. They're selling it at the local nursery. And so you just sort of make the assumption that, of course, whatever's here is native to where I am.
Well, if it's there, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And there's a problem with that.
Well, there is.
Tell me what the problem is.
Well, there's several problems. One problem is, and of course, as I feel really, it's important to make the point that you have to be able to identify what the plant is before you can start thinking about the problems. But one of the problems—
Well, you can stop right there. I mean, because that's my problem as a radio guy, and people call in and they say, I have a problem with my plant. And I say, what kind of plant do you have? I don't know. It's got green leaves and yellow flowers. Can you narrow it down a little bit for me? but even people like me, I can't identify every single plant by species in my garden. I can probably give you the genus, but still, plant ID is crucial. For example, a plant that has natives and non-natives in our yards, hydrangeas.
Right.
Okay. People don't know what kind of hydrangeas they have. I can tell you, I'll bet 80% of people who grow hydrangeas have no clue as to whether it's a macrophylla or it's an arborescence or something else. And even my daring to speak in Latin and say those words is off-putting to some people, don't you think?
Well, it's a very specific arcane language, so that's why we chose to write our book in terms of common names that would make it more comfortable to think for people to use. So we have our book done by alphabetical listing of per season of plants by their common names. So then you can think about the scientific name as you get into the subject a little more.
And the wonderful thing that you do in the book, and I love this, and I'm going to have to break on this and we'll get back to you, is when it's a non-native, it's in red.
Right.
When it's a native, it's in green.
Right.
It's so easy. So you could just go to the index. All right, I'm just going to go to the index right now. And look at, okay, here is, Asian skunk cabbage, that's in red. Barren wart is in red. What do we got? Bird on the wing, sea fringed milkwort, that is in green. But you know, bluebell, but there's different kinds of bluebells, you know. Bleeding heart, that's in red. That is bleeding heart. We love our bleeding hearts.
Luckily, there's some beautiful native alternative bleeding hearts.
And that's the point. You know, you tell people that you tell us which non-native plants you're growing right now, and we'll tell you which natives will perform well under the same conditions and will reward you with beauty, fragrance, ease of cultivation, and look relatively the same, not to mention bringing in birds, bees, butterflies. You know, that's a great premise.
Thank you. I agree.
That is Charlotte Edelman. She is a co-author of The Midwestern Native Garden, an illustrative guide, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants. And like I said, basically you pick up this book, you go into your yard, you start looking at the plants you have, you look at the labels, you go, oh, that's not native. Oh, that's not native. Now, it doesn't mean you have to rip out the whole yard. It's, you know, I've talked about this before. I've had Jack Pizzo on the show many times. We always talk about, do it one plant at a time. A plant dies, well, replace it with a native, you know, and probably that plant will survive this time around, don't you think?
As long as it's placed in the right place, it's suitable. You don't put a wetland plant in a dry area.
And that's the point, too, is that natives need to be in the right place, too. All right, we'll be back with Charlotte Edelman. The co-author of The Midwest Native Garden. If you have a question, hey, you got a question about what plant's native and not, and you're not sure, this is the perfect time to call. You know, Memorial Day, you're lying in bed. Charlotte and I were taking bets on how many people are actually tuned in today on a Sunday Memorial Day morning. So this is your chance to, hey, the lines are going to be wide open. 773-763-9278. Dennis is, as I said, He's actually sitting, but he is standing by, so give us a holler. The Growing Place in Naperville and Aurora, and I know they sell a lot of native plants, want to invite you to a very special event, the Once Upon a Time Garden and Story Contest. All entrants, and that means elementary-level students, will receive a certificate and a picture of their garden. And a copy of their story will be posted at one of the Growing Place locations. Selected garden photos and stories will be published on their Facebook page. The winning garden and story will receive a $20 gift certificate for Galaxy World. And the school attended by the winning student will receive a $100 gift certificate for the Growing Place. It's all part of the Once Upon a Time Mini Garden Weekend at both locations, and that's next week on June 2nd and June 3rd. There will be miniature crafts, activities, fairy face painting, planting of miniature gardens, and of course, design and plant advice. The idea is to celebrate miniature gardens of many types. The Growing Place wants to encourage young writers to compose a story about their garden. For more information, go to thegrowingplace.com or visit them in person at 25 West 471st Plank Road in Naperville and 2000 Montgomery Road in Aurora. The Growing Place is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
I talk a lot about Dr. Earth on this program. Here are two important things that will happen when you use it. The organic fertilizer in soil will become the food source for the microbes, providing most immediate nutrition for your plants, which means fast results. Your soil will contain the proper number of microbes to truly benefit your plants. Well, you know, who's got proper numbers? I mean, it'll have lots and they will increase. And unlike most organic fertilizers in soils, Dr. Earth products have various species of beneficial microbes already included as components. Go to drearth.com to see more and find a dealer near you. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants. Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
In case you didn't hear the report a couple of weeks ago, and again last week, something crazy is going on in the middle of Chicago, specifically at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. And when I say crazy, I mean color, an explosion of color all over the sidewalk. It gets cleaned up. And in the yard, I'm talking about the new Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. For Memorial Day, they have some special treats for you. Buy any two flowering perennials and get one free. Plus, all hydrangeas are 25% off. I would advise getting a native one. Maybe you want to get a little exotic and plant some tropicals outdoors. They have jasmine, bougainvillea, oleanders. The only thing they don't have are toucans and pina coladas. And that's a quote. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian village. Next hour, I'll tell you about a contest that they're doing. And Christy Weber Landscapes reminds you that while you might think of this as simply a three-day weekend, don't forget why we celebrate Memorial Day. Honor our fallen heroes by creating a planter or a flower bed using purple flowers, synonymous with pride and dignity.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs, vegetable gardens too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Sorry about that. I got a little carried away with my air guitar here. It's the Mike Novak Show in Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Hey, Dennis, we got a tweet here about the opening to the show.
Okay.
Which was, question, Zen episode? John Cage tribute? Small technical problem on the Mike Novak Show. Should be back any minute. And we were, and we are. And in the studio, I have Charlotte Edelman, who's one of the authors of the Midwestern Native Guide, an illustrated guide, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants. And, you know, what has been the I finally got to you, Charlotte. This came out last year. You know, we get to things as we get to them. What's the response to the book been?
Well, it's in its third printing.
Wow. Holy smoke. Are you shooting for the Tracy DiSabato Oust Award? At one point, I interviewed her. And, you know, gardening books don't usually – they're not usually huge sellers. But she had sold 100,000 copies of The Well-Tended Perennial Garden. And that's a big deal in horticultural realm. Are you going to approach that? Are you?
Well, I hope so.
Well, and this is going to be the what puts you over the top, my show.
Right.
Well, the bump, the Stephen Colbert
Absolutely.
Bump, except it's the Mike Novak bump. You divide the book into seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter. But as we all know, things overlap a little bit. And what is your do you have a philosophy about how people should approach going from traditional gardening to native gardening? Are you a cold turkey kind of person, or are you going to cut people some slack?
Well, I think people should do what they feel comfortable with. As you mentioned, if you can certainly start with one plant at a time, and some people want to be much more dramatic about it. I have a cousin who ripped out all her evergreens in front and has planted a beautiful native garden that she now can't stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I wanted to mention to you, you said, what are the bad things, in quotes, the detriments of choosing and are permitting to just grow non-native plants.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that is that they get – some of them have become very invasive. I'm sure that your listeners are familiar with that problem, that when you bring a plant in from far away without its enemies, where it would have had birds eating it or certain kinds of insects gobbling its leaves, and you bring it in here with no enemies, it just sometimes takes over.
Well, I mean, we could name some of those. Kudzu's one. Okay, which has become a scourge in the
right.
South, and at some point we'll end up in Chicago. I understand that some people have seen it over winter in the burbs here.
But beyond plants like kudzu, which is no one's purposely planting it, the book that my husband and I, Bernie Schwartz and I, wrote deals with plants that are purposely planted in our gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why there's a big distinction between that and, say, garlic mustard, which no one particularly would choose to grow in their garden. So you could take a plant like butterfly bush, which is now becoming and has become very popular because it's such a pretty plant and it attracts butterflies. But actually, it's from China. And because it's been so overplanted, it's now become invasive, which means it's taking up native areas in the Midwest.
Now, okay, butterfly bush, and I've talked about butterfly bush, and we're talking buddleia here. We're not talking butterfly weed,
right?
Which is asclepias. But butterfly bush, it is banned in some countries. It's banned, I believe, in New Zealand. England has a terrible problem with it. As I've said on the show, if you go to London, it's growing out of the cracks in the walls, in the sidewalks,
right.
And that's how invasive it is. However, I hear people say, yeah, but in the Chicago area, you can't keep it alive. You know, it'll die over winter sometimes.
Well, that's not true. Unfortunately, it dies to the ground, but it doesn't die. The roots don't grow.
Well, people have told me that the plant dies.
Oh, well,
okay.
Maybe it does. You know, some plants may die. But the fact of the matter is that many plants do not die. And the fact is they grow back robustly. And if you look at USDA plants on the website, you will see where butterfly bush is invasive in the Midwest. It was originally only invasive in states like Oregon, and everyone said, oh, it'll just be invasive
Washington
there.
State, yeah, they've banned it there, too.
But it is invasive right here in the Middle West, and if it's invasive
really?
In one of the – yeah, just look at USDA plants.
Mm-hmm.
The website has the maps for all these non-native –
Yeah, but if you look at that list, the USDA, and I've done that,
yeah.
Okay, you will never have a good night's sleep again.
Well, you
look
will.
At all,
you will, because our book will suggest native alternatives that one can choose that will provide just as many or more butterflies. And I just want to make the point that no butterfly in North America can lay her eggs or reproduce on butterfly bush from China. So if people want to have butterflies visiting plants, they better stop planting the non-native plants that do not permit any butterfly to reproduce.
One of the interesting points in the book, and it is well stated, is that you never know when a plant will become invasive. Right now, it might not be.
Right.
But it could.
That's right.
Down the road. I got a thing about Dame's Rocket in the mail just the other day, and oddly enough, coming ahead of having you on the show, and I probably won't be able to find it because I need to find it. So,
well, Dame's Rocket is one of the best examples of a non-native plant that has become invasive. It was introduced in the colonial days in the East Coast, and it became a very popular garden plant. And it's very pretty, and that's why it was so popular. Now it is considered a pernicious weed in 46 states in the United States. It took since the colonial days to achieve that status.
It's just amazing. I found it. I found the note. I got a Steve Apfelbaum.
Oh, right.
Who I'm sure you're quite familiar with, and he's writing about it, and how it the annual damage from invasive species are estimated to be more than $200 billion a year in the United States. So if you think that they're benign, they're not really benign
with that
kind of damage.
And of course, what our point is some things are beyond our control, but what we plant in our gardens are completely under our control. So we can choose wonderful, beautiful native alternatives. And another reason that I think it's important to plant native alternatives is that so many of the plants that are native are going extinct because we are tearing up our landscapes and building roads and all that. And instead of planting the natives that have been displaced, we're planting these ornamentals that are introduced from China and Japan and Europe.
And in fact, I quote you on my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show. This is a quote from your book. As a result of mostly ignoring our native plants and flowers, observes the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center, almost 29% are at risk of becoming extinct. More than 200 species have already vanished in the United States. The aster, cactus, pea, mustard, mint, mallow, bellflower, pink, snapdragon, and buckwheat families hold native species that are endangered.
And I think people will be surprised to learn that the purple coneflower, which is a very popular plant these days, fortunately, is actually extinct in parts of the Midwest. So that's a good reason to plant the purple cone. It's extinct basically in Michigan. There's one site left in Michigan that still has purple coneflowers.
Well, see, now I think of the purple coneflower as ubiquitous. Everybody plants a purple coneflower. Everybody wants a purple coneflower in their yard. And then what they do is they say, see, I've got a natural garden.
Well, that's a great trend if people are doing that. Mm-hmm. Another beautiful flower that is extinct in part of the Midwest is the sweet black-eyed Susan. And that's a very popular plant, too. It's a beautiful, tall black-eyed Susan. Both of these plants are host plants to native butterflies, like the checker spot butterfly, which means that these are the butterflies that lay their eggs on these plants. But if you don't have these flowers, these butterflies are not going to lay their eggs on any of these non-native plants. So
and see, that's,
that means they go extinct.
Right. And the point you made so well, and this is also the point made by Doug Tallamy, Bringing Nature Home. He did a wonderful book called Bringing Nature Home, and you should really read that, too.
Oh, my goodness. I have it cited in my book. It's a great book.
It is. And his whole point is that if we don't have natives, we're going to lose our insect biomass.
Right.
And we're in danger of that already. And you don't even need to have an invasive species, an exotic invasive, to have that happen. Because, you know, nobody would claim that peonies are running rampant and you know, covering everybody's garages. On the other hand, how many native insects choose to reproduce, as you say, lay eggs on a plant like that or eat it? Butterfly bush, yeah, some insects like the nectar, but other than that, they don't have much use for it, do they?
Absolutely not. And I will just, you'll be surprised to know that the peony is actually invasive in Kentucky.
No.
Yeah, look it up on the USDA Plants website.
I told you, don't go there. You will not be able to get a good night's sleep. Since we're on this subject, because this has been bugging me, because I have friends who work in the horticulture business, and they're probably terrified of people like you, because I go out and I read places, read these things that say butterfly bush invasive, barberry invasive, some of the other burning bush invasive.
Very invasive.
And they all, and then I, and just, I'll tell you, just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a couple of them, and they said, well, I've never heard of a barberry getting out any place? Have you? You know, and they all kind of chuckle and you move on. And yet the USDA is telling you that it is. So, and people like you, where's that disconnect? What's that all about?
Well, because if you have a backyard or if you even have a whole area, you're not going to necessarily see every plant that's invasive popping up in that particular area. But I can tell you from my opinion that if anything gets on the USDA plants and is shown as invasive or naturalized, that is big time invasive and naturalized, because they don't have the resources to start tracking down every plant that might appear in someone's garden. That means it's really taking over vast native areas. And you can just go into the forest preserves and see yourself, not you, I mean a person
I could
who's
too.
Skeptical. We could all go together.
Yes. Let's go together.
Anyone
Let's
who's
go
skeptical,
right now.
Skeptical, you know, can go in and they will see lots of these
have
plants.
Have you observed this happening? Have you seen these areas? Do you have naturalists come to you and say, hey, look, here's a stand of burning bush that popped up out of nowhere?
I see these stands of burning bush, and I complain very gently, of course, to the institutions that are maintaining them on their premises, which have promised that they will remove them within the next 5,000 years. Yeah, I see non-native plants and non-native invasive plants everywhere I go. And it's sometimes kind of sad because you know that there are some, like, for example, when you see purple daylilies, why don't you just plant purple coneflower? When you see,
because it's not the latest and the greatest.
Well, that's right.
You know what? And what we're doing with the coneflower is we're turning them into roses, meaning that we have to have every color under the rainbow.
Ah, that brings us to another subject.
Okay.
I disapprove, because they aren't really native plants, of these cultivars.
The nativars. That's the term that people use. So you have no use for nativars.
No, I feel that they are a unfortunate situation, because they are bred for, let's say, this bizarre orange color that they may have, but they're not bred for the nectar then that would have been beneficial to the bees that would have been going to the native plant. And also they're bred to be real fuzzy and curly and have weird things coming out, and the bees can't even get in there to access the nature. So, I mean,
we've thwarted the bees with our cultivars.
And we have a problem with bees. If we want to eat, we have to have pollinators. We have to have bees. A huge percentage of our food supply is based on the bees and other pollinators. So we're really thwarting their well-meant efforts if we plant all these cultivars.
By the way, Charlotte Edelman, who's the co-author of the Midwestern Native Garden, Native Alternatives to Non-Native Flowers and Plants, an illustrated guide. And I'm telling you, pick up a copy. I got a couple of tweets here. One is, what about the blue fescue? Mine used to behave itself, and now it's coming up all over the place. I mean, we have all kinds of things out there. It's good that we're getting the word out about this. So what's next for you? You know, you're changing the world. You know, that's good to do on a Sunday morning. Anything else?
Well, one of the projects I have, which is very dear to my heart, I'm working with the Wilmette Park District in Wilmette, Illinois, to create a native prairie garden in the one-acre detention basin in its Centennial Park, which is located at Wilmette Avenue and Crawford. And also working with us are Troop 2 of the Wilmette Boy Scouts. They really did their great amount of work in the last 2 years. We planted the one-acre basin with wetland native prairie plants, and it's really growing beautifully now. And we have a 15-foot border around it full of upland native prairie plants, which are some of them are doing very well, and it's an experiment. Some of them aren't doing quite as well, and I have to work on getting, you know, the ones that work in that particular soil and light situation, which is bright sun, so it's really quite spectacular.
I got to tell you something. You just got something on Facebook here. You got to love this technology.
I do.
I was going to Twitter there, and now I'm on Facebook. Amy just wrote, just ordered the book on Amazon.
Oh, wonderful. Thank
you.
We
just made a sale. Okay. Ooh. Let's make a couple more sales. listen, by the way, I have the link to your project in Wilmette. I put that up on my website, too. You can when you get home, take a look.
And
I want to thank you so much for coming down. I know it took a while for me to get you on the program, and you were always on the radar. It was one of those things where the email about your book came to me, I think, in like August of last year, and it sat in my inbox for 9 months, you know, gestating. And then suddenly I went, oh, yeah, I meant to have Charlotte on the show. So thank you so much, and it's my pleasure to have you here. And I don't even have to say congratulations or good luck. I don't have to say good luck, because you're already doing what you do very well, and people have responded, but continued success.
Well, thank you so very much. It was fun as always.
Well, thank you. And then when I go to my next radio station, you can come and visit me there too.
Oh, I'd love to.
No, it's not a hint. Thanks. By the way, if you ever find Bernard, let me know.
Oh,
okay.
I will.
Okay.
We'll tweet you.
Yes, we'll put out an APB for him. In case you didn't, wait, that wasn't the what? I did that. No, ravenous deer and rabbits can destroy a season of work in just one night. Well, they're sneaky punks. Why I oughta. So protect your prized vegetables and flowers with Bonide's all-natural go-away deer and rabbit repellent, and save your vegetable garden, flower garden, shrubs, and trees from the depths of destruction. Go-away liquid is available in both concentrate and ready-to-use formulations, and can be applied directly to plants, keeping animals from eating them for up to 45 days. It can also be applied directly to vegetables and fruit up to the day of harvest. And go-away granules can be used around all gardens to protect against marauding animal pests, and those are effective for up to 2 months. Look for Go Away Deer and Rabbit Repellent products at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, up in your neck of the woods there, Graff Gardens in Worth, Illinois, Berthold's Flower Barn in Elk Grove, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone Droid.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's spring planting time, and all SIP nurseries' greenhouses are bursting with table after table of colorful spring annuals, including their famous geraniums in all the best colors. Now just 59 cents a plant, sold in packs of four. Allsip also has a great selection of one-gallon shrubs for just $7.97. All backyard fruits and fruit trees are now 25% off, and six packs of wave petunias are $6.97. They also have hundreds of quart perennials, now 25% off. You'll also find the area's largest selection of vegetables and herbs at Allsip Nursery, including Burpee vegetable exclusives and locally grown perfect choice plants. You'll find more great values plus coupons to help you get your vegetable garden started on their website, which is allsipnursery.com, A-L-S-I-P. Allsip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois, on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. They're open today until 7 p.m. And tomorrow, Memorial Day, from 8 to 5 p.m. Tomorrow on Memorial Day, 8 to 5 p.m. I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio. I should not do that.
You're pulling me close. I just
that was a good Elmer
no.
Fudd.
Oh, thank you very much. It's the Mike Novak Show. We're discussing flowers. All right. Let's go to line whatever. One. No.
Four.
Four. Oh, we got somebody calling on line one. Let's go to line four and bring in Rick DeMaio. And the reason I'm playing this song, Rick, is because by the end of the day, is it going to be like fire out there?
Yeah, hopefully not fire per se, but you're definitely on the hot side, Mike, without a doubt.
Wow, you sound like you're in a cave. This is, you got quite an echo there.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Hold on one second. Maybe I got to fix that. Hold on.
Wow. By the way, I got in a tweet here, and while we're...
A little bit better?
No, it's not, actually. Wait.
Well, if you want, you could take a break and call me back on a different number. That may work.
Yeah, I think we should try that.
Yeah, okay.
Dennis, we need to call Rick back. I don't know how echoey it is out there, but it's pretty echoey to me. I can't tell.
Call up Rick back?
Yeah, let's give Rick a call back,
okay.
and we'll get him. And I want to go back to let me do some business, and then we'll get right back to Rick DeMaio with our forecast, because, as you know, if you've been paying attention at all, the weather is, once again, getting a little odd. And here's a tip from the Care of Trees Facebook page. They linked to the Arbor Day Foundation blog, which listed 8 great all-season trees, and here are just a couple. The red dogwood tree has beautiful red flowers in spring, great foliage in summer, and reddish-purple leaves in fall. Apart from its beauty, the red dogwood tree provides glossy red fruits for the songbirds to eat. The prairie fire flowering crab apple tree is a disease-resistant tree, and I've got one of these in my yard, and this is absolutely true. It's a delight in spring with its bright red flowers. As the leaves grow out in the summer, they emerge as red-maroon color, then mature to dark green. Its red-brown bark contrasts attractively with the spring and red-orange fall foliage, while its decorative red-purple fruits is an attractive feature. I mean, it's just a gorgeous tree, and that's the prairie fire crab. Invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees and keep them healthy and beautiful. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
All right. The Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Let's go back to the phones. Let's bring in Rick DeMaio. How you doing, Rick?
I think we're better now, Mike.
Oh, we're much better.
Yeah, okay. we're not playing Lost in Space.
You were in such a cave. I wanted to get you out of that cave. Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, you got to be normal, right? Hey, you know what? It was interesting because we had, you know, quite a temperature range yesterday. We made it up to a high of 86 degrees officially at O'Hare Field. It was only 66, though, along Chicago's lakefront. And we kept having these boundaries of wind coming southward from Wisconsin and Lake Michigan due to these big thunderstorms that basically roamed across parts of southern Minnesota and central Wisconsin. And I guess there were a few times people were saying, wait a minute, I thought it was going to be warmer if you lived within a couple of miles of the lakefront where, you know, temperatures obviously stayed cool all day. But, boy, if you went, you know, maybe 5 or 10 miles, excuse me, south of the city, we had temperatures close to 90 degrees. So it was, again, one of those strange kind of late spring days in Chicago, but today, I think as we tried to talk about earlier, just about everybody kind of getting in on the hot weather today. And what's interesting, Mike, is that not only will we break a record, which was 94 set back in 1911, but if we hit the high temperature today of 96, this will end up being the earliest ever in 140 years of record keeping that we've been this warm this early in the season.
Really? That, wow. That's saying
kind of
something.
Scary.
That is, you know, considering what we could possibly be getting the rest of the time. And the other thing that's scary is this week was so dry.
Right.
Oh my goodness, we were working hard to keep up in the community garden with the vegetables.
Right.
Even with the mulch, and you know, we put the oat straw mulch, and that really helps. But still, we became painfully aware of how dry things were. And, you know, even these little fronts that have been coming through have really not been doing. I mean, we didn't get any rain yesterday. I woke up and looked at the radar, and it was all going north of the city. Yeah.
And you know, last week we talked about the fact that we'd be losing about between a quarter and about a third of an inch of water per day. And, you know, you'd count that up and times it by six or seven. And essentially the ground pretty much lost of almost 2 inches of water of what we got with that heavy rainfall back in the middle of May. And we had really, if you think about it, we had almost five straight days dating back to last Monday afternoon of almost 100% sunshine, very low humidity levels, were generally in the 20s and 30s, and very windy conditions. And that's what you need to produce high rates of evaporation, and that's pretty much what we got. And you start to look around and you see a lot of the public lawns, and I always look at the grassy areas up and down Lakeshore Drive, and everything now turned that, you know, kind of that lime green, bordering on a little bit of yellow there. And today, no doubt, when we break out into some sunshine, even though we have some clouds moving through, this will be another day of high evaporation. And even if we get some rain tomorrow, it doesn't look like we're going to get too terribly much. I'm thinking maybe 3/4 of an inch at best, and then we get back into another dry pattern, which is kind of weird considering last year at this time, farmers were about 3 weeks behind schedule due to the fact that we had 8 inches of rain in the month of May. So this has been a very, very different month. And looking also back at some data with the help of Pat Skatch, who's obviously one of our great climate experts in the Chicagoland area.
He sends me all this great stuff, most of which I don't have time to get in there, but it's all this detail and this data that he has.
Yeah, Pat's really good about looking at some stuff. And you know, it's up to me to synthesize it and kind of bring it down into a nutshell. But basically, if we hit... You know, obviously we'll be in the 90s today and 90s tomorrow. Only four or five of the months have we had this many days above 90 in the month of May. In addition to that, Pat looked at some water temperatures for me, and Lake Michigan water temperature right now is running nearly 17 to 18 degrees above the normal average in the mid-lake buoy, which is generally should be in the lower 40s, right now up to about 58 or 59 degrees. The last time we were this warm was 30 years, actually more than 30 years ago, back in 1991, and we went on to have a very hot and a very humid summer that year, with temperatures almost a couple of degrees above average, and you know, several. I think we had a couple of days with high heat in the upper 90s, and I think we're probably going into that. It looked earlier in the month that we would probably have a more near normal type of summer, but now the pattern has definitely become hotter, and if we continue to dry things out, you know, some of that heat will obviously be, you know, accentuated even further by the high rates of evaporation.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to ask you. Is it going to be one of these situations where it starts to feed on itself?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because I think those type of scenarios, you don't really know you're into it, and this is kind of weird, until you're about a week or two into it. Because all of a sudden you go, okay, now we haven't had this, and we haven't had this, and if we don't get this, we'll probably end up getting this. And sometimes you have to be into it about a week or two before you begin to notice it. So the question then becomes, if we do get rain tomorrow, how much? And right now we're thinking less than 3/4 of an inch. So now that puts you even further into, you know, a deficit by the time we get to next week. And then you begin to see the heat build a little bit. So I would think easily by the time we get to the middle of June, which really becomes, you know, the hotter time of the year due to the high sun angle, if we don't get some decent rains around here, I think people who have planted anything in their yards, particularly the flower pots and, you know, your container plants and things like that, you're going to find yourself watering a lot more than you need to, without a doubt.
Yikes. Well, you know, this is just, it's continuing to be a strange weather. There's no such thing as a normal weather year. I know you're aware of that as a meteorologist, but but this one just seems, in particular, kind of off the charts.
Yeah, it's kind of off the charts a little bit, and I think, when you look back at what we had last spring, which was record severe weather season, this year we had two bouts of severe weather, which was pretty much the end of February, which was almost like a wintertime event, and then we had one about 2 weeks later. Since then, the middle of March, we've had literally nothing. The entire month of May, almost half of April, we've gone through the worst part of the year with basically nothing in a way of significant severe weather. And the pattern that's shaping up now doesn't look like it's going to be that way either. So to put everything into context here, the forecast generally high today right around 96. The record is 94, set back in 1911. That'll break the all-time record for as warm as we've ever been this early in the year. Tomorrow still low to mid-90s with some showers and thunderstorms. Late tomorrow afternoon, I think much of the day should be rain-free. And then it looks like we cool off back into the 70s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and it may be some warmer weather by the time we get to the end of next week. Certainly not hot, but definitely by the time we get to Tuesday, it looks like we'll have at least 5 days of 90s in the books for the month of May, Mike. The all-time record, by the way, is 10, but after that, the records are only about 6. So we're going to have the second one of the second warmest Mays ever, and we could end up having the warmest meteorological spring ever in Chicago's history as well.
There we go. All right. Always great to hear. Happy Memorial Day to
Happy
you.
Happy Decoration Day, as my Aunt Mildred would used to say.
Exactly. And you can go to demayaweather.com or go to my home page, mikenovak.net. Rick, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Take care, Mike.
You too. Bye. Pesci's Garden Center's Des Plaines is offering free use of their education auditorium to local garden clubs and schools for meetings and events. If you're interested, they will also present a seminar on topics relative to gardening of interest to your group. Now, I've broadcast the Mike Novak Show from the location adjacent to the nursery. It's fabulous. It's a great place. The auditorium has room for more than 150 attendees. There's also a hands-on room with potting tables for demonstrations. In addition, Pesci's will rebate 15% of purchases by your attendees the day of the event directly back to your organization as a fundraiser, though that does not include sale items. For more information, contact Pesci's at 847-299-1300 or email Wally at Pesci's.com. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more information, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. And next hour, we'll have Dr. Wally's tip of the week. Also next hour, we've got Rick Moskowitz and Steve Pincuspy. We're going to be talking about the Chicago Center for Green Technology celebrating its 10th anniversary and what's going to be going on there. Also, pests.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees, and by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
You know, I get the feeling that Ron Cowgill is out there somewhere jamming, because he tweeted me earlier about the echo chamber on the phone. But, you know, I figured, Radar Love, that's for you. It's a shout-out to my buddy Rod Cowgill from Mighty House.
Good man, that Cowgill.
They have a lot of fun on that program. 7 to 10, Saturday mornings right here, Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And we got a lot of tweets here. I want to catch up on some of those before I get to my guests in the studio. Of course, Annie Haven out on the left coast is listening, as she usually does. And happy Memorial Day, by the way, to everybody. And our thanks to all the people who've paid the ultimate sacrifice. It's good to have people defending you. Especially in a democracy, I guess. And I was talking about Annie, who's got, if you want to go to her website, it's manuretea.com. Just like it sounds, M-A-N-U-R-E-T-E-A.com. And she's got her Haven brand manure tea on there, and find out about her green approach. And I always appreciate having Annie listen to the show. A couple of tweets I thought were kind of interesting. Helen Yost tweeted, "This is my first time hearing the word nativar." Really? Oh, I didn't think it was that. I've known about it for I'd say a couple of years. And it's the idea that I don't know how much of a plant guy you are, Steve Pinkowski. There, pull that microphone over. I caught you in the middle of the drink here.
No, it's all right. But I can't hear a thing through here.
Oh, just turn it up.
It's pretty loud.
And you got nothing going?
Nothing.
All right, Dennis will be in here a second. We'll take it off because you can hear me talking across.
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
You know.
No, I'm not a master gardener.
Oh, that's the one. Thanks, Dennis. Well, you know, somebody should explain that to me. Okay.
Now we got it.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah, nativar, it's been a while. And the idea is that there are native plants and people make cultivars of them. You know, a classic example of that is bee balm or Monarda. And there are various cultivars. And one of the things about bee balm is that it tends to get powdery mildew. And what breeders have tried to do is breed the powdery mildew out of it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. However, then you have somebody like Charlotte Edelman, who was in here in the first hour, and I should have asked her about bee balm. She might be listening right now. Maybe she'll call in, 773-763-9278. Because, you know, I did a story about nativars, and Connor Shaw, who's at Possibility Place Nursery down in Monee. He's funny because I asked him about nativars and like coneflower when they breed all these things, the coneflowers, all the wacky colors that they have. And he said, they all revert anyway. They all revert to the native strain sooner or later. So there you go. But anyway, Helen, yeah, this is something that you know, probably isn't as widely known as other things, and I think it. What are you guys doing? Taking photos there? Come on,
we're like children.
Do I have to separate you two? Do I have to? All right. And then I got a tweet. Wait, is that? See, in the tweet, you can't trying to read the handles. Is this Yarndiva? I think Yarndiva. Dennis, you're laughing. It's kind of hard to figure that out.
Handles are crazy.
These handles, well, like the one she retweets is Coco. I should be able to pronounce that. I think it's a Spanish word, isn't it? Cocoxitol, something, meh. I'm really good at this. Well, anyway, Yaya Yarndiva tweets, when is it cultivation? When is it GMO? Who makes the distinction? Which is a really good question. Because what folks need to understand is that if you got two flowers and you're crossing the pollen there and trying to create new varieties, that's not GMO. We're not injecting foreign genes into it. This is an age-old tradition. It's been done naturally for millennia. So you know what? I've been meaning to do a show on that and have somebody in the room talk about that, and I think we have to do that at some point. And I'm glad to see that other – oh, and there was one other I wanted to make sure I got to. From Frugal Food Gal. Mike, now please tell listeners about Chicago Sustainable Backyards, 50% rebate program on native plants, trees, and compost bins, Chicago residents only. You're familiar with that, Steve?
Yeah, I am. Actually, you can go to, I think it's www.cityofchicago.org/rainbarrels and download the rebate forms. It's up to 50% back.
No rain barrels, though, she says.
No rain barrels, compost bins, native plants, and trees that are on an approved
compost
list.
Compost bins, native plants, and trees.
Yes. And rain barrels.
And rain barrels.
They still qualify, absolutely.
Because our garden, community garden, is looking for some rain barrels. Ron Cowgill, again, from Mighty House, has threatened to come out and help us put up a rain barrel system. And we want to gang them together. And not only that, we want to get a device that flushes the first bit of water. He showed me this device that he's discovered. Then it allows the water that has all the toxins in it mm-hmm. to go flushed out, and then it starts to store the water in the barrel.
Well, just to clarify, I think it's one rebate per item per resident. But if you couple, it's, you know, pool together a few different residents on a project, why not?
We all live in the city.
That's right. It could work.
Okay. So what was – where would people go again?
They can Google the Sustainable Backyards Project, and they'll find it on the City of Chicago's website. It's www.cityofchicago, all one word, .org, I believe, /rain barrels.
I tell you what, let's have her do that. Hey, Frugal Food Gal, give us a link. Put that up on Twitter and put that up on my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show on Facebook.
I think we actually at the Center for Green Technology have a workshop coming up about that rebate program in June. And I would have to check your website to verify the exact date. I think it's June 16th.
I hope. Can you get on that computer there?
Let me check.
You do that. And that is Steve Pincusby from the Chicago Center for Green Technology. The other guy in the studio, who I had to separate, and I'm keeping them across from each other here, Rick Moskovich from A-Plus Pest Control. How you doing, Rick?
Hello. Good morning.
You brought in a musical instrument.
I did.
Now, do we do this quickly and get it out of the way, or do we tease people with this and threaten them with you playing the jingle for your company on the mandolin?
Yes, you're the boss.
I think we should build up to it.
I think we're going to build up to it. Okay. So stick around sometime during this hour. Rick Moskovich from A-Plus Pest Control. And I got a that would be great. See, and Annie's listening to the show, and she just tweeted the best person for Dr. Huber. Okay. Yeah, I've wanted to get Dr. Huber on the show before. She sent me a link, a YouTube link, an interview with him. She said Dr. Huber would be the best guest for talking about GMOs. So, all right. Thanks, Annie. I'm going to. Check that out. All right. So, yeah, later in the show.
Later.
Rick Moskovich and his singing mandolin. Are you able to get on?
No, I'm not able to get on.
We'll have Dennis come in and take a look at that. Why have a computer here if you can't work it? That's what I say.
Well, in a digital age when everything's online,
Because I want you to, you know, we may have to switch you and Rick around there if we can't, because I think the other computer works here. But you also gave me this natural pest control. We're sort of easing into this conversation here. It's Memorial Day. It's Memorial Day. You know, everybody's taking a day off and they're all relaxing. And I don't want to shove agendas down people's throats and that sort of thing. Natural pest control for your home and lawn. What is this all about?
Yeah, I'm presenting. Through Neighborhood Housing Services, two workshops in June. And it's just basically an overview of some various tips and techniques to help get a handle on some of the more common pest issues you might face, whether at home.
Like what kind of pest issues?
Ants, cockroaches, dandelions, everybody, much maligned dandelion, everybody.
Really?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I know.
Dandelion's not a pest.
But there's a way to...
Dandelions are my friends.
Correct. And for those who can tolerate them, I say leave them. They'll be gone in 2 weeks if you just ignore them. But mm-hmm. other folks can't stand them. So
I know.
We just try to talk about some strategies.
So I see you got Wednesday, June 13th,
yes.
6 to 7:30 p.m. at the NHS, which is the Neighborhood Housing Services of mm-hmm. Chicago. It's at their office at 1279 North Milwaukee. That's not too far from where I am. And then, again, 6 to 7:30. And then Tuesday, June 19th, 6 to 7:30 p.m., NHS Back of the Yards office, which is 1823 West 47th Street. And I should try to get this on my Facebook page. I'll see if I can get this up.
Yeah, you're welcome to keep that.
Okay, I will do that. Well, speaking of pests, as we know, it's been a weird year. Oh, okay. Oh, I got a pronunciation. Back to Twitter. It's Cocozochi is how it's Aztec. I knew it was something like that. It's Aztec for Midwestern-based radio show hosts that can't pronounce... what's Nuadl and or Dahlia? Or Dahlia. See, I say Dahlia, and some people say Dahlia. Well, thank you, Cocozochi. Yes, I know. I'm an idiot. Okay? So you just don't have to put it all over Twitter. Been a weird year for
It was just a tease.
Oh, please.
Okay.
See, he really does have a mandolin here. You think I was kidding.
I was shaking, too. Okay.
I can tell that this hour is going to get away from me very quickly. What has happened in the pest world? You know, I've talked this year. We had that really warm weather early, and then it got cold.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's done some weird things in terms of diseases and insects, in terms of ornamentals. For instance, I can tell you my backyard, in my backyard, I've got a rambling rose that is covered in powdery mildew, and including the buds of the roses that are just starting to open. The buds themselves are just coated in powdery mildew, and a lot of people are seeing that just because it was warm and all this growth came out, and then we got cool and wet, and bam. But what's interesting is I have a rose in front, and when we got that warm spell in March, it was already starting to force buds out, and it was out of control, a little leggy. I said, you know what? I'm going to prune this right now while it's warm because it's already sending out the shoots, and I did. Well, because that didn't have any foliage exposed, it didn't leaf out for several weeks after that, and it missed all that cool wet. It doesn't have a lick of disease on it. It's got nothing. It's clean as a whistle. Because I happened to accidentally prune it at exactly the right time. And I'm sure this is frustrating to a lot of people who didn't get it timed exactly right. And I didn't even prune my rose bush in the back, and that's why it's coated in powdery mildew. But it's just been a weird spring, and we're seeing black spot and anthracnose, and we're seeing there's insect. What insect problems are you seeing, Rick?
The biggest insect problem right now is actually ants. And we started in February. It was already warm. We were getting calls since January, actually.
Now, when you get calls for ants, you're talking about ants indoors, right?
Yeah, people, you know, outside, they're beneficial. We don't want to get rid of ants.
Well, that's what I mean. People are always...
till the ground.
Yeah, but you know what? People always write to me, and I call ants the great innocent bystanders of the insect world. Because every time there's a problem, here's a typical. I've got my tree is all rotted out, and there are ants in there. And they're killing my tree. How do I kill the ants? Well, often the rot happened before, and the ants just showed up. That's why I call them the great innocent bystanders.
The carpenter ants.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of it.
Yes.
And then in the yard, the ant hills, or in the lawn, ant hills.
Yes. Well, carpenter ants don't eat wood, remember, like termites. But they will dig it out.
They just
holes.
Move it around, huh?
Right, and they live in it, and they make holes in it. So if the tree's already rotted, you need to call a tree expert.
Right, exactly. Right, exactly. And that's my contention.
You got a sick tree.
Your tree has got a problem, and the ants are the messenger.
Right.
You know, just like, and you know this, Steve Pincusby. There is a line of thought about weeds, that weeds are messengers. And dandelions tell you something about your soil, and clover tells you, and I don't consider clover a weed, and neither do you, I'm sure, but Creeping Charlie, they all are telling you about what's going on in your soil.
Yeah, I mean, grass thrives in a very narrow range of conditions, so when you have a preponderance of weeds, usually what's happening is the pH is off, there's a surplus or a deficiency of a certain nutrient, mm-hmm. So there's whole books written on how to read your weeds, essentially. And they all indicate something else is going on. And so sort of what Rick was saying about the tree, the soil is unhealthy at that point. So you need to address the soil conditions first, and then you get healthy plants.
Why don't you make tea out of the dandelions or
well, I just got
wine.
That. Actually, that was just – and great salads and teas. There's just so much you can do with the dandelion. It's a good plant. It's a health. It'll keep you healthy. Eat your dandelions.
You know, to go back to what Rick was saying, I was just looking this up on the computer because it's working now. So E.O. Wilson, who's wrote the book, The Diversity of Life, has said that ants account for 25% of the world's insect biomass. So they play a really critical role outdoors in terms of moving material around. And then when they decay, they provide organic compounds for plants.
Yes. So why do you think they're... are so many calls about ants inside the home this year?
Because inside they're a pest.
No, but Are there more inside this year or just more calls? Did they start earlier because of warmer
weather?
Earlier
is the word, I think.
But why wouldn't they be there in there anyway? Aren't ants looking for – I mean, how does that work? I mean,
every living thing you know needs water, shelter, and food. Water, food, and shelter. Those are the things that every living thing needs.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got that in your house, you got it in your dishwasher, carpenter ants might be behind your dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's water, food, and shelter.
All right.
So if they get in the walls and you've had roof damage, you had a roof leak or something, and you've got soft wood, the carpenter ants will come in and start chewing down the wood, living in the wood.
But again, make that point, they do not – they're not like termites.
Right. They don't eat wood.
They don't eat wood.
Right.
They're just taking advantage of conditions that already exist.
That's right.
So you have to look at the underlying condition.
Right.
Now,
why are they there?
However, they are there. Now, and not everybody has carpenter ants. People have all what?
Mostly pavement ants, you know, different kinds.
Little tiny ants. What are the little tiny ants?
Well, they're different kinds of little tiny ants.
That's what I figured. I thought there was a garden
ants that look big. They look almost like carpenter ants, not quite as big.
Yeah.
And there are also little tiny ones. They're literally little black ants.
And so what do you use when people
use boric acid.
All right, we talked the other day, and you said that there's a tip on using boric acid. Don't use too much.
Yeah, if you're going to use boric acid yourself, put it in some kind of duster. I mean, blow it in like a little ketchup bottle, like those plastic ketchup bottles, mm-hmm. something like that.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And blow it lightly into the cracks.
But don't they those boric acid containers already have the little
sometimes
spout,
it has a tip. If it has a tip on it, you can you can use that, but do it lightly.
Because
if you – well, picture yourself walking down the beach,
mm-hmm.
and there's a big sandhill. You're not playing. You're just walking down the beach, and you're going to avoid that sandhill.
Mm-hmm.
You walk around it, and that's what the ants will do or the roaches will do.
But it's the American way. If some is good, more is better.
Yeah, double. Right.
You double it, yeah. Like pesticides, fertilizer, all that stuff, which Steve is nodding because he's – you know, Steve, you got to understand, Steve does a lot of talks on organic lawn care. And we could actually answer some of those questions, too. In fact, let's get to a question, and then I'm going to have to break. But very quickly, 773-763-9278. Let's go to the phone. And who is this, Dennis?
Don in Chicago.
Don in Chicago. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike. It's Don in Chicago. I'm having a problem in our garden with cucumber beetles.
Right now?
Yeah. They look like little green ladybugs. And some have stripes and some have dots.
Wow. Is it early for cucumber beetles?
Nothing would surprise me with this weather.
Yeah, really.
Really?
Holy smoke. We dealt with some cucumber beetles last year, and I got to tell you, they are not fun. For one thing, they'll spread diseases, which is... Not the greatest thing in the world. And they have it's so yellow-green colored with black spots or stripes. You got the little stripes?
Yeah,
about a quarter inch in length?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they're eating our squash. They're attacking the pumpkin and cucumbers.
Wow, something to look forward to in my community garden. Because our pumpkins are coming up, and so's the melons. The larvae and adults attack asparagus, broad beans, eggplants, potatoes, certain fruit trees, tomatoes, peas, squash, corn, cucumbers, potatoes, fruits, and melons.
Sounds like everything we have.
and it's not the limit, as they will attack over 270 plants in 29 families, including flowers and ornamentals.
Oh, man.
The adults transmit bacterial mosaic and wilts. These bacterial diseases actually overwinter in the beetle's intestines. When they are actively feeding again, they transmit the diseases from plant to plant. Boy, you don't want to hear this.
Yeah, I know.
In spring, the adults will feed en masse on seedling shoots and leaves. You will see adults feeding mostly on flowering plant, flowering parts, and pollen during the summer. In the fall, they turn to the upper portions of the plants and will also feed on weeds and trees. Boy, they just eat anything.
Pretty much, yeah.
let's see here. Control methods. Well, there's the organic. This is, you know me, kind of an organic guy. And I know we attacked them last year. Let me give you some organic approaches. For one thing, use a portable vacuum to get the adults in the early evening, put them into the plastic bag and get rid of them. Try placing cuttings of tansy as mulch between rows in the garden. Onion skins on the soil or around the planted area. They don't like that. Let's see. A deep mulch.
Neem oil.
Neem oil. Let me tell you what, I will.
It may work, but it smells bad.
Yeah. Well, as long as it works.
Yeah.
Cedar oil could act as repellent, but it wouldn't last long.
It says neem oil can be used as an ovicide, can be used as a soil drench to treat eggs and larvae. It does seem to help with control of the adults as a repellent and anti-feedant. According to this site, this is not necessarily the case, but definitely for the eggs and larvae. That's, you know, what you're looking for.
Cedar oil may work, too. I don't know, though.
Cedar oil, huh?
Well, Rick, you use cedar oil a lot.
Yes, we do.
Let me get a little more information on that for you and do what I can. Oh, you know what I realized, too? Okay, it's something that I got last week from Jennifer when we were talking. That's a start there. Let me get it says, by the way, floating row covers are effective control method during the early season of plant growth, providing a barrier between insects and plants, but you already seem to have them. How bad is the infestation?
Well, they're mostly attacking, it seems, the pumpkin and the squash right now, but they did spread over to the cucumbers, which is on the opposite end of the garden. So I guess they're kind of everywhere. But those seem to be the only plants they're attacking.
Uh-huh. Wow. That's just... And where are you in Chicago?
I'm really, the garden's in Arlington Heights.
Oh! Well, good. Keep them out of the city. All right?
Okay.
If you can do that. All right, Don, let me get some more information for you and see what I can do with it. Because we dealt with this last year, and I need to track down the information I had on that.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye. 773-763-9278. I think we got a couple of more calls, at least one more. We'll get to that. I need to take a break. In the studio, I have Steve Pincuspy, who, and we've talked about your name before. You have one of the most interesting names ever.
Thank you. My parents will be pleased to hear that.
Yeah. And he's with the Chicago Center for Green Technology, and Rick Moskovitz is here from A-Plus Pest Control. We'll try to answer some questions and talk about some things going on. The 10th anniversary of CCGT is coming up, and we will talk about that further on the Mike Novak Show. Well, here it is, Memorial Day. Some years were practically shoveling snow. This year, say hello to my little friend, 100 degrees. Regardless of the temperature, gardening in Chicago is never a piece of Memorial Day cake. And I think I just mixed metaphors, which is why you need a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. The cover story for this issue is about clematis, or clematis, or if you're from Chicago, clematis, or clematis, yeah, if you're a social climber. But this plant... Some people say clematis, too, I guess. This plant is a trellis climber, and there are new and spectacular versions in fabulous colors, and some of them don't even climb. You'll also get a great list of flowering, annual, and perennial vines that aren't clematis or clematis, or you get the picture. And if you're not bloom-obsessed, you'll learn how to plant a classy container from nothing but foliage plants. Or if you're just obsessed... You might want to go to my column on the inside back page. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist.
Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I'm here, and these two guys are just, they're hacking and wheezing and coughing. It's just, wow, it's a crazy allergy season, isn't it?
Oh, it's been brutal. The pollen counts were really, I mean, going back to March, You know, normally they don't start taking pollen counts till almost April, and they had to start early this year just because of how quickly things were blooming with the warm weather.
Mm. Well, okay. If you need to cough, just, yeah, do it to the side there. If you're looking for a one-stop garden center for all your gardening and landscaping needs, look no further than Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center on Dempster Street in Des Plaines. You can depend on Lurvy for everything that grows and everything that goes in the landscape. For instance, you can find the ideal plants for your garden and landscape projects. And it's an easy way to do it. You just go to their website. You search the selection of trees, shrubs, evergreens, ground covers, roses, vines, and perennials by going to the website and clicking on it. You can even create your own plant list, print it out, and bring it into the store to see the great plants you've selected. Search for plants by going to their plant search page, entering keywords and phrases, specific characteristics, then clicking on the search button. It couldn't be easier. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is at 2550 East Dempster Street in Des Plaines, just 1/4 mile east of the Tri-State Tollway, I-294, or go to lurvys.com. Lurvy Landscape Supply and Garden Center is a proud sponsor of Diggin' Chicago. Rick's bringing out the I almost called it a ukulele, but it's you might want to tune that sucker before we use.
Yeah, I'm not really a mandolin player, you know. I play guitar.
You just play one on the radio.
This
I know,
is for fun.
Okay, not yet. Put that thing away. Okay. Put it down.
All right.
See, because I know that you go on other radio shows and they don't let you play.
They don't.
Your mandolin.
They don't let me sing.
I know.
You're much nicer, Mike.
I am. I'm the nicest guy in radio. Let's talk real quick about the 10th anniversary. We've got a couple of phone calls. We're going to get to those in a second. While I've got you here, though, Steve Pincusby from Chicago Center for Green Technology. The big shindig is on the 16th of June.
Yeah, June 16th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to have an exhibitor expo, if you will. Rick will actually be a part of that. So we'll have folks covering everything from pest control to people's gas will be out there with energy savings programs for the public. WRD Environmental can talk about native restoration. stormwater management. So we really have a great lineup of different sponsors and exhibitors. In addition, we're trying to make it family friendly. So we're going to have some games. We'll have a recycling game there. We'll even have a dunk tank. We might get to dunk some former Department of Environmental officials.
You know, that was the part that I thought was kind of interesting, the dunk tank.
Yes.
I can think of a few people I'd like to have.
I think we should dunk Mike, right?
I was going to say, Mike, are you volunteering?
No. Nobody cares if I get dunked, but there are some they're bigger names than mine that I wouldn't mind seeing.
Rahm Emanuel.
Like that's going to happen. Okay, yeah. That's the kind of thing. That is exactly the kind of thing that Rahm would do. Yeah. Dunk tank. Yeah, I can really see Rahm doing that. I can see him. Never mind. But what else will be there?
We're for part of the entertainment, we have this solar-powered van, which has a PA system, and they do DJing and for events. So it's going to be pretty neat. The name escapes me, but it'll be up on our website shortly. So they'll be there, and then we'll have food vendors there. So folks can come walk around for a while, check out the vendors, the exhibitors, check out the landscape. You know, there's an awful lot to see at the Center for Green Technology, everything from our restored prairie to some of the building technologies.
Yeah, if you haven't been there, you've got to go. I mean, 10th anniversary, now's the time. Platinum LEED certified building. First municipal refurbished building that went platinum, right?
In the country, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and we just sort of, we just submitted for our LEED for existing buildings, and we're shooting for platinum on that, too, so.
Wait. Do you have to re-up every couple of
years?
You
don't have to re-up. Once you get new construction certification, you're certified for new construction forever. But they have an existing building process, and that is continuous. So they expect you to resubmit every 5 years for that. Mm-hmm. And this will be our first go at it. So we're hoping for the best.
Okay. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to line two and bring in Nathan from Detroit. Nathan?
Yes, how are you doing?
Good morning. It's good to have a caller from Detroit. How are you?
Yes.
How's the Motor City today?
We are fantastic. I guess the reason why I was calling, my father was listening to you guys, and he said that a native plant guy came and called, was talking about the issues of GMOs in our flowers. And is that correct?
Well, we kind of touched on the issue of GMOs just a little bit. Somebody had asked a question. I got a tweet about that. Earlier in the program, I had woman who had co-authored a book on native plants, a really terrific book called The Midwestern Native Garden. And so then after that, I got a tweet. Somebody was asking about the difference between GMOs and cultivars and that sort of thing. Why?
Well, pretty much, I just wanted to clarify. There's definitely, I used to work as a flower breeder for a flower company. Now I'm a plant broker, and there are nothing even close to any GMO flowers out in the market. Everything's naturally either open pollinated as far as heirlooms, or I'd say the majority of about 90% of the stuff you buy at garden centers now is hybridized. And
right.
That's all just scientists just speeding up the process of nature and doing a great job, and there's nothing to be worried about that. You know, like, and even when you look at, you know, like, there's two different types of GMO too. They're, like, sometimes if you're speeding up selection and you're putting, let's say, a drought-resistant gene from one type of a plant into the same type of plant, compared to taking a gene from a different species into another plant. There's different caveats to everything, but I just wanted to make sure everyone know that there are no flowers being sold at all in the United States market that is GMO. It's all either open pollinated or hybridized hybrid seed.
You know, and that's pretty much what I was saying. I didn't realize that there were no flowers, and you know, I can't even imagine why you would have a GMO flower. I can see why sometimes in the GMO food, because what they're trying to do. But I suppose you could use the same logic to try to do that, create a plant that is resistant to Roundup or resistant to a pesticide.
The closest you have in breeding would be, let's say, the poinsettia, where you have a red poinsettia. They breed for a red poinsettia. And then to get the other colors is what they use mutant breeding. So what they do is they let the poinsettia expose it to some chemicals that allow the genes to mutate quicker than it would naturally do, or than it naturally would. And that's the way that they can get multiple colors in a poinsettia family that all grow identically the same and all have the same characteristics. So, but I don't consider it GMO. That's just still nature. They're just speeding up the natural process. So
yeah.
They're like, there's a little spin to it, but you're not doing anything that nature wouldn't do from the sun radiation over 100 years.
And I appreciate this because what I think has happened, Nathan, is that with the GMOs, people have gotten confused. Ian, you didn't used to ask how this plant came about if you were hybridizing it. It was, you knew you were crossing plants and you kept crossing them until you got the characteristics you want, and then you tried to see if that you could reproduce that seed on a consistent basis. Now, with the GMOs, folks are terrified that every time they turn around, somebody's pumping foreign genes into a plant. They don't understand the hybridizing process. And so there is that question. And I'm glad that you brought that up.
And one of the other reason why there is GMOs in agriculture is there's money there. And flowers, there's not enough money. If you're going to do a research facility, that you've got to publicize it, that you're doing GMO trialing at your facility, that place will get torched. So there's got to be a big enough return to take a risk of either public outcry or getting vandalism. There's got to be a lot of a monetary return in order to go after some of the GMO production. There just really isn't that much of a revenue stream in flowers as compared to agriculture, and that's one of the other reasons why you probably will never see it in flowers too.
Well, that's a great comment. Nathan, you are welcome to call the show anytime from Detroit or wherever, and where in Detroit?
Just outside of Auburn Hills, it's a town called Lake Orion. It's a fantastic town. We have a GM plant there, and we have American Axle, and we have about 10 minutes from the Chrysler's headquarters. So it's a fantastic sort of a hybrid of a city right there. So,
I know it well. You know, I grew up in Detroit, went to University of Michigan, so it's
great.
Right in the ballpark. So, Nathan, thanks again. I'm glad your dad was listening. I'm glad you called in.
Not a problem. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new Eco Garden Center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts, and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
Christy Weber, Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, would like to know, can you stump a landscaper? Now, flower beds are as unique as the gardeners who plant them. Do you have something uncommon in your garden? And we're not talking about your pet raccoon. If you're the first person to post a photo of a plant from your garden on their Facebook page and they can't identify it, you will win a $50 gift certificate. To get in the game, you need to go to their Facebook page, Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. It's a mouthful, so I'm going to repeat that. Here's the Facebook page, Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center. And for Memorial Day, they have some special treats for you. Buy any two flowering perennials and get one free. Plus, all hydrangeas, and I mean all, are 25% off. Visit Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center on Facebook or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in.
and the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Thank you, Melinda Myers. Looking to give some motherly love to your flowers, trees, shrubs, or vegetables? Bring in Dr. Earth's probiotic Motherland All-Purpose Planting Mix. The blend is chock full of organic ingredients like forest humus, aloe vera, and yucca extracts. Motherland Planting Mix is excellent for raised beds and is a perfect protective cover for seeds. It will improve soil drainage in clay soils, and when used as mulch, will lock in moisture and control those weeds. Doctor your earth with Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to find a dealer near you, and be sure to check out the Facebook page. Search Dr. Earth and click like for organic updates. I just got a tweet about, we were talking GE, genetic engineered, genetically engineered. People sometimes use that acronym or initials, sometimes GMO. The tweet was, where there could be confusion is about GE grass seed, which is not good. And I agree, because I actually saw some trials of GE grass seed. And if that gets out, you know, that stuff will be popping up all over the place and you'll never get rid of it. And we've already created super weeds, you know, lots of that in like the 17 states that have serious super weed problems. And the super weed basically is you genetically engineer a plant so that it can resist Roundup, all right, so that you can spray the weeds around it. And they will die, but the plant won't.
Or diseases and other things. I mean, they can genetically engineer to bunch of things.
The problem is, right, because you want to get corn borers out of there and other things. The problem is all it takes is one insect, one weed to mutate, to become resistant. And then they breed. And now you've got weeds that also do not respond to Roundup, or insects that don't respond. Insects adapt really easily. They're really good at that.
Yeah, talk about bed bugs. That's what happens.
Okay, tell us about bed bugs.
That's what happens. You know, the chemicals that we no longer use here have been used in Europe. And they come here. The bed bugs are carried here, and people try to spray with them, and nothing happens. So that's what we use natural stuff. We use steam.
Steam's a really good way to approach that, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, do you have to have steam done professionally?
You can do it yourself. It's harder. We have products. We make our own natural products, you know. And we do have a bed bug product that's at stores. But you can get a steamer and try it. It's very hard. And I suggest a professional, yes.
Okay. It's spring planting time at Alsip's nursery greenhouses are bursting with table after table of colorful spring annuals, including their famous geraniums in all the best colors. Now, just 59 cents a plant sold in packs of four. Alsip also has a great selection of one-gallon shrubs for just $7.97. All backyard fruits and fruit trees are now 25% off, and six packs of wave petunias are $6.97. They also have hundreds of quart perennials, now 25% off. You'll also find the area's largest selection of vegetables and herbs at Alsip Nursery, including burpee vegetable exclusives and locally grown perfect choice plants. You'll find more great values plus coupons to help you get your vegetable garden started on their website, alsipnursery.com. Alsip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. They're open today until 7 p.m. and tomorrow, Memorial Day, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Ahoy, mateys. Arr. Throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew and do it organically. This brew from Bonide contains spinosad, which is derived. We were talking off air about spinosad. I used it the other day on some mites that I had on a my grapefruit plant, and bingo, bango, bongo, they're gone. But you have to find out, you know, what it can be used for. We were talking about cucumber beetles. I actually tried it on cucumber beetles, but I don't think it's rated for cucumber beetles. Even though it is an organic substance, it was collected, and you know the story, don't you, Steve? Collected from an abandoned rum distillery on a Caribbean island.
I did not know that.
In 1982, defined as a new species and hasn't been found in nature anywhere else in the world since.
I knew it was a fermentation process that resulted in spinosad. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So you can use Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew on your insect or plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects. Wow. like bagworm, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more. Arr. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees, but always read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Illinois, Kinnich Village Florist in Palatine, Metzen Ace Hardware in Coal City, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all the Bonide garden naturals. Okay, you're going to give me a tease there with that mandolin thing? Before the end of the show, you will hear the jingle for A-plus pest control. Now, I'm going to get to let's take a real quick question here because Jesse's been waiting a long time. So we're going to go to the phone. And Jesse in Evanston, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, Mike. Before I get to my question, I just want to make a comment. I know you were talking to the gentleman from Michigan before my call. Michigan, isn't that the place where all the trees are the right sizes?
Anyway. Yeah, I believe they are. Yeah, I'm from Michigan, and I know that all the trees are exactly the right height. Yeah.
Okay. Listen, I'm starting to see green black spots on my roses. Some of the leaves at the bottom are turning yellow, and then the black spots are starting to on a couple of them.
This is an amazing year for black spot and rust on roses, I'm not surprised that that you're seeing that. What kind of a rose do you have?
I think I think one of them is rock. One of the rock something, and then the other ones are tea roses.
Yeah, tea roses. I'm not surprised that you're having that. But you know, even the knockout roses. Do you have one of those?
Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, we have seen black spot and other diseases in even knockout roses this year. It's just amazing.
Right, it is a knockout rose. Right, that's the first one, and I just know the tea roses are gonna follow. I've seen little brown spots on them, but they're not the yellow and the black. But the knockout roses, I saw the yellow and the black spots. I was wondering if there's anything that I can save them or.
Well, for one thing, you want to get rid of the leaves that are infected, and clean it up and keep it clean. You're probably going to have to resort to a fungicide of some kind to do that. Where do you like to go to garden center?
Well, there's Home Depot.
That's not a garden center. That's a box store. Okay. What I would do is go to your – where do you live?
In Evanston. There's one on Tui. I can't remember the name of it. And there's Antoine's on in Evanston, actually.
Antoine's, right. And it's a great place. And I would go there and talk to their professionals, ask them what kind of fungicide they might recommend for you. I like people – and take a sample of it. And
okay.
With you so that they can see what you have. Put it in a plastic bag, seal it up nice and tight, take it in there they can diagnose it properly and tell you exactly how to treat it. And, you know, I believe on one-on-one where you can go in and do that and then they will have the product that you need or be able to direct you to the product that they believe in. And that's probably your best bet.
Listen, okay, I'm going to try it. Listen, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that.
All right, you have a good day, Jesse.
You You too. Take
bye-bye.
Care.
Okay. It's time for, you know, speaking of that, Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Now, Wally's not a real doctor, but don't tell the AMA. We hate to complain, but several customers have come in with insect problems improperly diagnosed by garden departments in the box stores. Just saying, as I was just telling Jesse. Here's the proper way to bring in a sample. Pesci's will put it under a digital microscope and give you the proper advice and curative. Cut a branch of the problem plant, place it in a sealable bag, take samples from different areas of the plants, both leaves and branches. Bring in samples from a dry plant, as insects and certain fungus can be washed off from watering and rain. Now, samples should be fresh. Don't leave them in the hot car for several days. That's not going to help. Pesci's specializes in plant pathology, and they're ready to help with both organic, natural, and conventional curatives and fertilizers. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Stand by. In about 60 seconds, Rick Moskowitz will have a performance on the somewhat tuned mandolin. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Do you know that lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other? Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. This is just one of the reasons why you don't want to grow your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree, especially if it's a GMO lawn. Another reason is something we call lawnmower blight. That's bumping your mower into your tree, which, believe it or not, can eventually kill it. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, you're changing your landscaping, or you're moving, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, the Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Rick Moskowitz.
A+Pest.com.
If you got ants, you got mice, you got roaches, don't think twice, call me. We do it like we live there. Everybody?
Mm-hmm. Wait a second. You need this, too. Okay. There's your A+. Give me the website again, please.
A+Pest.com.
And if you got, dealing
green
with
pest
ants.
Control.
Green pest control. And that's the thing you do.
Bed bugs, ants, roaches, whatever you got.
And you do it as green as you possibly
can.
We have
natural products called PlusNaturalEnzymes.com.
And I've used this stuff. I've used your mosquito repellent. I've used enzymes. I mean, it's great stuff. It really is. So, Steve Pincusby, what's coming up at CCGT?
Just a couple quick workshops I wanted to mention. This Thursday, May 31st, Grace Kaler with Piso Native Plant Nursery is doing sustainable solutions.
Love Grace.
For
Grace
native
is
landscapes.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And that Sustainable Backyards workshop I mentioned earlier is going to be on June 12th. This is all part of our Green Tech Youth Seminar Series, and all of our workshops are free and open to the public. So,
and they should go to the website.
Our website, thank you, ChicagoGreenTech.org, ChicagoGreenTech, that's all one word, .org, and click on Green Tech U, and you'll be able to see all the workshops. We have classes going until August 18th.
And, yeah, take advantage of them. I've got the link, MikeNovak.net. And go to this week's show and scroll down to where it says Happy 10th Anniversary CCGT. And you can find out all the workshops. Steve Pinkusby, thank you for coming by. Rick Moskovitz, thank you, I think. Keep playing as we go out.